Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And dear friends in Christ, the gospel from John chapter 14, Jesus in the upper room on the night of his passion, speaking to them, the disciples gathered around him who were fearful and despairing that they may lose him. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." These are the words of our Lord. The Lord be with you.
Yes.
Thank you. These are words of Holy Communion. These are words of our Lord really present with his disciples and with us. You've probably heard this passage before at a funeral about that house. In my Father's house are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you. And isn't it great because our loved one, whoever it is now in their heavenly home. Finally, they're at rest from their labors. And we kind of leave it at that. This is a passage he's talking about heaven. So I would ask you then for a little consideration today. And by the way, that's not what most commentators would say about this. Just say it. But I would ask you, when you think of heaven, is heaven a present tense or is it a future tense for you? Now, I ask you that because I, among others, used to be a pastor of, well, in charge of evangelism at a church in Texas, and I remember having quite an extensive team of volunteers who would go make visits to visitors to the church because it was growing quite a bit at that point of life. And when we went, we used a program where we could do some diagnosis, because this is a very popular program in those days. You probably heard similar words, but there were two questions that focused to kind of, so where you'd kind of know where your person was at that you were visiting, as if anybody was comfortable with that. A number of years ago, stopped all this. But two diagnostic questions, and I'll bet you've heard them because they are so popular. One is that I would be visiting with you, or one of our visitors would be visiting with you and say, "Well, Sam, you know, just speaking about your being a church, and we're really glad to be here and want to share some things, but I have a couple of questions to ask you. One is, if you were to suddenly die, would you be certain right now that you would go to heaven?" And you would usually get an answer like, "Well, yeah, I'm pretty certain, I guess." Or, "Well, okay, let me ask a follow-up question, number two." And this is the question that I want to focus on here a little bit. "Well, supposing you would die, and we don't hope that's going to happen to you. We're just visiting you hoping you'll be around for a while to maybe join our church or whatever. But if you would happen to die, and you would stand at the gate of heaven, and God would ask you, what would you say to God as to why he should let you into heaven?" Aha, we can really figure out where they're at now. Because you know what the right answer is. "Well, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior who died for my sins, and I know I'm going to go to heaven." Future tense. Now, what I came to realize later is the question was a false premise. That's why I stopped using it, because we Lutherans, we borrowed it. We borrow a lot of things that we're sorry for later that we borrowed. But the question sets you up for something to see heaven as a place where you are still yet to arrive, and you somehow, and think of all the funny stories and jokes you've heard about St. Peter at the gate of heaven, but the Lord at the gate of heaven, and you're still outside of heaven wanting into heaven because now you've died and it's time to go to heaven. Well, the false premise for any Christian, and this is why many Lutherans would stumble on that question. They'd never heard it asked that way ever in a congregation, because there is no future tense to being in heaven and part of the heavenly community. It is in the now. It is in the present. It is not something that we are waiting for. It is something that we are already in the communion of saints. The whole heavenly host. We sing it in the liturgy to Holy Communion. And therefore, the pastor says, when we praise God for what he's delivered us and done for us through Jesus Christ, therefore, the pastor says, with angels and archangels and with the whole company of heaven, we laud and magnify you evermore, praising you and saying, holy, holy, holy. The words of Isaiah 6 in the vault of heaven, it resounds, holy, 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 the place where all is pure and righteous. We do that every time we are at the Lord's altar here, proclaiming it to one another that we are not just here by ourselves getting something from Jesus, his body and blood to be sure, so that we'll be able to go to heaven when we get there, but it is as a member already of his community, his everlasting community. So you see how it's a false question, a false premise? What would you say to God as to why he should let you into heaven? Well, certainly believing in Christ, and there are people who don't, so they're still outside of heaven in this life. But the church is here to bring you into the heavenly company, into the heavenly chorus, into the heavenly place where you are in fellowship with angels, archangels, and with all those who have gone before us. Yeah, even grandma and grandpa and great-granddaddy and all the rest. We are with them singing together in the communion of Christ's church, his body. So what's your tense of heaven? So here we have Jesus here with his disciples on the night when things are getting very, very tense. And the Gospel of John goes into quite a bit of detail here. But Jesus says to his disciples, who were afraid they were going to lose him because he's departing us, going away, Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Whoa. God and me. It's one and the same thing. No one comes to the Father except through me, he says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The Father who dwells in me does his works through me. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. You hear that in the communion of the church. Because I am going to the Father. So there's a oneness with Jesus and his Father, and here he makes it explicitly plain to them of who he is and what he's doing. In my Father's house are many rooms. And there's that beautiful, beautiful set of words that he speaks. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So in that upper room, where Jesus is the one who is facing death, certainly, he is consoling them. They are not consoling him. But this is what Jesus does. Even when we're least able to be up to the moment with God, up to the righteousness of God, he consoles them in their fears and in their doubts and in their wonderings and their questionings. What's all happening here? His life is going to be emptied out. No, he's going to die. He's going to be gone. But he's comforting them. And he's letting them know what his departure is all about. He's a giving Lord. And he's giving a gracious passion of his very lifeblood for them and for the world, to those who would be filled with fear. And then he gives the image of the Father's house. A mansion, it's spacious, it's big, but for you there's a particular place in that great large house of God. So now we've got dwelling talk, house talk, mansion talk, room talk, tabernacle talk. Tabernacle became the temple talk, the place where God dwells. And so we hear in this same Gospel of John, the Word became flesh and literally in the Greek, tented, tabernacled among us, dwelt among us, but tabernacled. Well, that's Moses. That's the people with the tabernacle, with the very Holy of Holies presence of God in that place with that people at that time. Jesus comes very early and John records the cleansing of the temple and he says, do not desecrate my Father's house. My Father's house. He's speaking about that which goes on in the temple of Jerusalem, the brick and mortar temple to be sure, but he is making clear who the Lord of that temple is when he overturns and throws out the money changers. It shall not be a place of trade, trade-offs. By the way, isn't that what we try to do with God so many times? I'll trade you, God. I'll trade you some righteous deeds if you'll give me back in return a healing or a little brighter day or something here, a job. But there's no house of trading here. It's my Father's house. So there it is. And then later he says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. And John gives us the note. He was not referring to the temple that's in brick or stone. He's referring to his own body. He refers to himself as the temple, the house, the tabernacle, the place where God dwells, himself, flesh and blood. And he will raise it in 3 days. And we know that he would hear that again in his trial. They would accuse him that. In Matthew 18, where two or three are gathered, in my name there I am in their midst, at that location, at that place. There dwelling with them, even after he has departed from us, there he is. We're told in the New Testament that you are God's temple. You are God's household of faith. You are God's holy nation, God's holy people. You are everything of God's that's beautiful and righteous and pure and clean. And you go, really? Me? I don't know if the Lord's seen what I've been doing this week or been thinking or been not doing or not thinking. And yet, these words are spoken to you and to me through his words to these disciples. House of God, I go to prepare a place for you. And this is where we understand that this is not simply about a heaven that's going to come your way, but rather when Jesus says, I go and prepare a place for you, he's going to his death. He's speaking about the cross. He's speaking about his passion. I will come again. He's speaking about his resurrection, his life over death, and he will come again, and I will take you to myself, the new temple of God, the very place where I've always been living in brick and mortar, but now I am here in the flesh of Jesus, your Christ, your Savior. So this passage is not about, oh, wait until you get to heaven when Grandpa dies. It's about that too. But it's about you and me here today, because our Lord is speaking about his death, and he will come again in his resurrection. And he does. The season of Easter, we see it. And we're preparing now for his Holy Spirit, whereby he's going to bring his very presence, just like he did with the Virgin Mary, to you in flesh and blood on Pentecost. But that's what all of this is about today. It's a beautiful place. Home! He's taking us home. I had a member in Tennessee that once put it out in a Bible class, I think. He said, you know, in life, the one place we are always yearning, and it's like we never get it fully, is home. Home is nostalgic. Home is a place we want to be. We want to be home for the holidays. We want to have a home that everybody loves and respects and does everything for one another. And some of us have better memories of that than others of us. But home, just take me home. I can't wait to go home for the holidays. I can't wait to go home and be with the family. But the problem is, home is never the same. Home is always changing, and especially with our fallenness. But we know that it's not a house of brick and mortar. We know it's the place where love resides with persons we know and love as our family. Being together, being with, being embraced by family, parents. But we also know that it's never quite what we yearn for, because there's a lot of brokenness in our homes, in all of our lives. This is the problem with the world. This is the problem with you and me. We sin, we doubt, we say stupid things, we receive the brunt of things, and that's what's happening. Home is often interfered with time. Someone dies, someone departs. It's so different without grandma here. Home, it could be the loss of a child, or the child that's not the way used to be, or a parent, or the brokenness, yearning to say, I really do love you. That's what we want to hear. So a home is broken into by time, by death, by sin. It's interfered all over the place. And what do we have in this passage of Jesus? In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go and prepare a place for you. For you. Not some of you. Not those of you who have, done special stuff. But for you. For you who hear these words from me. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself. Home. Home. That's why we say it with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, because you've come for me. He's come for you. He temples with you and for you. His flesh and blood. That's why we come to his communion rail, because we long and rejoice in the home that he gives us by his real living presence. His very body and blood. We hear his words given and shed for you. Why else ought we to be here except for that? The place where he reminds us he is our home. He is our temple. He is our life. He's everything. And what comfort that brings to each and every one of us, each and every day. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.